Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome back. All right, we're going to dive into a new series for you here of the top 20 financial tips from 20 years. That's about how long I've been doing financial planning work. And so I thought it'd be helpful kind of to take a lot of the different things that I've looked at over the years and kind of distill it down for you into the top 20. Of course, there's probably a lot more than that. In fact, I saw a book the other day somebody had written and it was 400 some odd tips. I'm like, wow, I don't have that kind of time. That's a lot of work. So I'm going to give you 20 and we'll just run through them and get to all of them, but just touch on each one and tell you why each of them is an important thing to think about. And you know, no matter how many times I look at and think about financial planning or look at how I approach the work I do for my clients, you know, every time I look at it, I go, you know, that's something we need to think a little bit more about. So financial planners are still learning this whole thing called financial planning. And there's always something new and different where if we are doing our job and doing the continuing education that we're required to do or should be doing, then we're still learning as well. So let me start with tip number one. No surprise here. Establish and build an emergency fund for what can go wrong. There's a lot of stuff that can go wrong, whether you're in retirement, approaching retirement, or very far from it. So I love the idea of having cash on hand. Cash is king because if you need a lot of cash or there's an emergency, if you don't have the cash, then getting it usually requires some sort of sacrifice or negative outcome. So you might have to borrow at unfavorable terms, or you might have to liquidate an investment position at maybe an inopportune time. There could be a variety of things. You might incur a penalty getting out of something that you planned on keeping a long time. So whenever you are looking at your situation, and it's tip number one, because even before you get into paying off debt or you get into having the proper insurances, you've got to have cash. And far too many financial people, I'll call them people, I'm not sure that they're all advisors, but too many financial people will try to put every nickel somebody's got into investment so they can be compensated for it. And of course, that's not right. That's not putting the client's interest first. The right way to build a financial plan always starts with having enough cash. Well, how much cash? Well, it varies by person, but there's a couple ways to look at it. Number one, you can take a percentage of your overall total assets and say, that's going to be my emergency fund. And you could say 5% would be a starting point. Another way to do it would be to look at what your expenses are, maybe for 3 to 6 months, add in maybe some deductibles on some of your major insurances, add those things up. And that would give you an idea of what are maybe an adequate cash reserve. So got to have cash. I can't emphasize that enough, even if I say it three times. Now, number two, insurances. Your insurances will need to adjust as you go through life. The insurance you need when you are 20 as a college student renting an apartment is very different than the insurance you need when you are perhaps 60 and you have a home and you have other responsibilities and you might need a long-term care policy. You might want life insurance for a particular purpose. You might need an annuity for income or to supplement. So your insurance needs change a lot. So the goal is to maintain the right type of insurance for where you are, your stage of life. And it's more about your stage of life, not necessarily your age. Somebody, two 40-year-olds or two 50-year-olds may have very different insurance needs based on their particular circumstances. Number three, develop a plan for debt. Now notice that cash and insurances came before paying off debt. If you don't have any health insurance, but you're focused on paying off your debt and then you need insurance, well, guess what? You're going to be back in debt again. So a key thing about these tips is you've got to do them in the right order. Number three, debt. All right, you've got your cash, you've got your insurances, you're going to start working your way through debt. What do you pay off first? Well, I like the idea of course, paying all your minimum payments. You don't want to be missing payments, so pay all your minimum payments on everything that you owe, and then start with the highest interest rate debt and put all your extra cash there to pay it down first. Once you pay it down, then you take what you're putting on that debt and transfer it to the next highest debt item you have. So it would be the next lower from the most expensive to the cheapest in terms of the interest rate being charged. So you work your way down, and as you go from debt to debt, and hopefully there's not that many, but as you go through that, you take what you were paying extra And it kind of starts to snowball until you pay off all the debt. Now, debt is number three on my list, and it comes before investing. How about that? Before you invest, and I've told people coming in to see me, I don't want you to invest money with me until you've paid off this debt. And people look at me like I'm crazy. What, you don't want to invest my money? Well, sure, I want to invest your money, but I want you to pay things off that could get in the way of a good, sound financial plan. Now, housing debt is a little different. Housing debt can be deductible depending on your circumstances. It depends on a lot of factors, how long you plan to stay in your home, but it's real easy to work through paying off auto and credit card debt, student loans, all those types of things that generally are not deductible. Home debt, different animal. You have to look at your situation. You may not want to pay it off, or you might want to refinance it either with a regular mortgage or maybe a reverse mortgage. So those are some considerations. Number four is looking at specifically at the home debt, which we just talked about. So you have to work through that one really individually. Number five, reevaluate your investments as you approach retirement. Well, what if I'm a long way from retirement? Why do I need to be thinking about the stability of my investments? Well, you don't. If you're 25 years old, you're in your first job, you're saving money in your 401k, you're saving and you're putting this money away, and retirement's out there as a kind of a mirage out on the desert in your mind, well, then you don't need to be really concerned about stability. You want to be in the most important thing for you to be doing is to be putting as much away as you can systematically. And so you want to be on the more growth side of things. You don't want to be reckless by any means. You don't want to just roll the dice haphazardly, but you certainly want to be more growth oriented because it could be a very long time before you need that money. Now, I always caveat that statement by saying, if you can't sleep, then it's counterproductive. But with the proper education and thinking it through, then you can look at the investing really to be more growth oriented when you're in your younger years. Now, as you get closer to retirement and move into retirement, we really need to think about the stability of our investments because we can't afford to wait for a recovery that might take 5 or 10 years if we go through another major market meltdown. You know, 2008 was the latest or biggest, most recent market drop of 38% for the broad market stock market indices. How long did it take? It took a while for it to build back. Before that, we had 2000 through 2002, where the market was off almost 50% over that three-year period. If you're retiring in 1999, and you might be parting like it's 1999, but when the market fell apart in 2000 and then proceeded to fall further and then further in 2001 and 2002, what if you had just retired? Bad. So you want to make sure that you've got your money positioned for drawing against it when you retire, and you can't afford to wait for the money to come back. And that's really the last tip I'll cover right now is being able to draw from stable sources when it's time to get your income. If you follow the tips, if you think about them, you can plan stronger.
Hello, this is Brenda Campbell, General Manager with Volusia Memorial Park and Funeral Home. We are committed to helping you with compassionate, professional, and personal service. When it comes to pre-planning for yourself or someone you love, a Dignity Memorial provider is the name you can trust for all your funeral, cremation, cemetery, and memorial service needs. Recording them and sharing them with your loved ones will help ensure your final arrangements will be what you want, easing the burden on your family and friends. We can be reached at 386-673-5373 or our website, VolusiaMemorialFunerals.com. Volusia Memorial Funeral Home in Port Orange and Ormond Beach. Life well celebrated.
The Rice and Rose Law Firm is celebrating 30 years of service in Volusia and Flagler counties. I'm Paul Rice, President and Managing Partner of Rice and Rose. The Rice and Rose Law Firm has a department dedicated to estate planning, wills, trusts, and probate. We also provide legal guidance if you need a power of attorney, living will, or health care surrogate. Contact the Rice and Rose Law Firm at our Daytona Beach office at 257-1222 or visit our website at ricerosenlaw.com.
So we're counting down the tips, the top 20 in 20 years, and I want to pick up with just reiterating and kind of segueing into from one tip to the next. We talked about making sure you draw money from stable sources. This is really important when you start to draw on your investments and you want them to be reliable. You need your income to be reliable. I don't know a person who says, hey, I'm going to go into retirement, and if I get some money one month and the next month I don't get any, that's okay. You know, hey, que sera, sera. Well, no, that's not how it's going to work. At least it's not going to work very reliably. And unless all of your income needs are discretionary, and again, I know very few people that are in that position. So you, as you build an investment portfolio, which is number seven on my tips, is you want that investment portfolio to have several characteristics. And I'm going to tell you that it can be done, because I'm going to give you kind of a wish list here. And you're going to say, golly, David, how do you get all of those things in one portfolio? You have to use more than one thing to do it. That's the answer. You need your portfolio to be flexible. You need it to be liquid. You need it to be diversified. And you need it to be low cost. It needs to be all of those things. Now, not each investment has to be all of those things, but your overall strategy needs to include those things. So you need to have the right level of risk that's going to be acceptable for your goals and also acceptable for your comfort level. So again, you can sleep at night. No financial planning is going to work if every night you're up from 1 to 6 in the morning, unable to sleep. You're just not going to make it that way. So we need to be realistic about how we build these things together. Different investments have different characteristics. Some things are going to inherently give you growth potential, but they also carry risk. Some things are going to provide income, but not produce as much earnings. Some things are going to be much more stable and conservative, but again, may not earn as much as that exciting thing that gyrates all over the place. So you have to build a plan that includes all these things. That's the magic of financial planning. Now, the next tip is number 8. I want you to be realistic and honest with yourself about whether or not you can manage your investments yourself. You know, in order to do that, you really have to have the time, the talent, and the interest. If one of those three things is not there, then it's probably better to find somebody else to help you. If you don't have the time, well, you could be the best financial person on the planet, but if you don't have time, you don't have time, right? If you don't have the talent, you're not the best, then it doesn't matter how much time you have or how much interest you have, it may be difficult. And you may have all the time in the world, you may have the skill, but you just may not be interested. You know, I can cut a mean lawn. I can make that lawn look great, but I'm just not interested. And I also don't have the time. Got the skill, but don't have the time. So you have to be realistic. And then if you determine you need help, then you go about looking for somebody to help you. Now, this is really important. This is the tip number 9. When you look for somebody to assist you, you want to look for an advisor that can help you with what you're looking for. So in other words, the advisor needs to be the type of advisor that can advise you on the types of products and services you need. You say, well, I don't know what I need. Well, then you better interview more than one advisor to try to educate yourself and understand. And don't be afraid about getting educational material to learn a little bit about how this works, because you're going to be trusting them to advise you about which products and services make sense for you for what you're wanting. So you need to be clear about your goals and objectives, and you need to figure out and use as part of your interview process what types of products and services match up for what you're wanting, and then that helps you kind of figure out what kind of advisor you need. So for example, if you know you need growth, then going to a life insurance person is probably not a good match, because that's about protecting people from somebody dying too soon. That's what life insurance does. That's not about growth of your investment dollars. By the same token, if you're looking for income, then you don't necessarily want to go to somebody whose focus is on growing your money. You're not at that point. You're looking for income. So you want to look for a matching of things. Now, the other thing is, tip number 10 is, when you're looking for an advisor, it's real important with your interview process that you've got to like them, you've got to trust them, and you've got to believe them. Three more things that all need to be there. If you don't like them, it's not going to work. If you don't believe them, it's not going to work. And if you don't trust what they are telling you, it's not going to work. So you need to like, trust, and believe. And you need to figure that out through the interview process and ask questions. Don't be afraid. Now, I'm shift gears. Tip number 11, back to more of the financial planning. Real important for couples. You want to reduce marital stress and strain in your finances? Because that's a big part of marital. There's some nice ways of saying this. Incongruence or troubled waters. Well, marital strife, marital difficulty, a lot of it comes from finances. You want to avoid that? Here we go. Two words, budget, financial plan. Well, that's three words, budget and financial plan. You got to have them, and you have to get on the same page, because if not, then there will be difficulty. If one person is not involved, other person needs to be involved. Please, please, please do that. It will help save problems. Now, part of planning for a couple as you're looking forward into retirement, another big one, Social Security. There's been a lot of changes to Social Security and how you make choices about the types of elections you can make for your retirement benefits through Social Security. You want to make sure that you make the best one for your situation. How do you do that? Well, there's software you can do that. There's some things online you can look at, but you want to make sure that if you're working with an advisor, they're familiar with the different strategies. And this is especially important if you have one of the spouses has a much higher income than the other, or if there's a significant age difference between the couples, or if there's a significant longevity expectation. If one person comes from a family of people that all lived a very long time, and one not so much, these kinds of decisions become very, very important. Because when you put these things together, you know, the choice about Social Security, how you invest, how you work together as a couple and work with an advisor, and how you build the plan, how you accommodate, and this is really important, how you accommodate each person in that couple relationship, each of your preferences. You're building an overall plan, but you've got your respective monies. So how do you do that? You know, do you want one spouse's money to be targeted for growth? And maybe that's the person with the greater longevity? Or do you have the other person have the more stable, more secure money, maybe that you're drawing income off of, and maybe they're not the one with as much longevity? Or it could be all mixed together, you know, mixing those characteristics. So the idea is to take these things and kind of lay them all out on the table and talk about them candidly with each other. And again, this is where if you choose to work with an advisor, sometimes the advisor can help you think it through, be a good listener to help. You know, a lot of times I find that couples are saying the exact same thing, but because they're used to disagreeing about their money, what one says, the other one doesn't hear. It comes out one person's mouth, and by the time it reaches the other eardrum, it's been translated into, well, you don't respect what I do about my money. You know, it gets translated. So, or misinterpreted, I guess, is really what I'm trying to tell you. So be careful with these things. Think about them. They're important tips. Follow them. You'll plan stronger. Hello, this is David Holland. You already know from listening to this program that I'm very careful about my financial advice. It will come as no surprise then that I feel the same way about my other recommendations. If you love traditional, authentic Greek food as much as I do, then there's just one place to go, the Greek Town Taverna at 150 North Nova Road in Ormond Beach. It's just around the corner from my office, so you'll see me there for lunch at least a couple times a week. They've got stuffed grape leaves, gyros, lamb chops, octopus, and baklava. You can find all of these wonderful homemade Greek favorites every day of the week. They offer a wide variety of wine and beer to pair with your meal as well. Visit GreekTownTaverna.com or call 386-944-9526 for more information. I'll see you there.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Give the gift of opportunity. Support The Y.
For more information on what your Y does and how you can help, visit vfymca.org/give.
The Y, for a better us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dan Drake. My staff and I have enjoyed delivering excellent, lasting dental care to countless patients for many years. We are a modern dental practice offering a full range of services, including cosmetic, implant, Invisalign, and general dentistry. Additionally, I'm one of only a few dentists licensed to perform IV sedation, sleep dentistry to help those of you who are anxious. My belief and commitment is to deliver outstanding dental care and positive patient experiences. We look forward to serving you. If you have a dental question or concern, don't hesitate to call us at 386-673-1611 or visit AtlanticDentists.com.
Hi, this is David Holland. I've been going to Dr. Drake's office for over 20 years. I trust them, and you can too. Hey, David Holland here. I'd like you to listen closely to a few words from my good friends, Tony Papandrea and Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation.
Hi, I'm Tony, chairman of the Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation. If you need more income now with some tax advantages and would like to leave a future benefit for Florida Hospital Hospice Care, a charitable gift annuity might be a good fit for you. Learn how to include charitable gift annuities in your financial planning. They could benefit you with higher tax advantage yields than you are getting now and benefit Florida Hospital Hospice Care later. Call us at 386-586-4440 for more information.
Ready for more tips from my top 20 tips from 20 years? Say that 10 times fast, so we will. Let's rock and roll. Pick up on number 13. When you build a financial plan, it's got to be sensitive to, ready? Here it comes. Wait for it. Income taxes. Yay. Nobody ever comes into my office and says, David, can you show me how to pay more in taxes? They might want you to pay more, but they don't want to pay more. And I've never had somebody tell me, gosh, I just don't feel like I'm paying enough. I'm not caring enough about taxes. So we can plan that out. We can minimize taxes, but it requires thinking it through as part of an overall plan and looking at your money and where to draw in a smart way so that you are keeping the taxes as low as you can. So it can be done. That's what I want you to know. And it's really about picking the right investment account. So pick from, pull from it at different times. Also, might mean being a little counterintuitive or counterlogic, and it might be pulling from something that you don't have to take money out of and maybe to incur a little bit of tax before you have to. Imagine that. Number 14, here's a real important one. You manage your investments. No, you don't manage them. Somebody else is managing them for you. You still monitor them. You still pay attention. You still open your statements. I'm not asking you to study it. I'm not asking for you to spend hours doing it. I just want 3 minutes, quick scan. Does anything look weird? Okay. I call it looking for somebody driving on the wrong side of the road. It will be real obvious real quick. Look for something that looks odd. And if you don't understand it, call your advisor. No problem. But you've got to monitor what's happening and not just check out. Number 15, in the same vein, remain vigilant about scams. If it sounds too good to be true, you hear it, right? It almost always is. So I've had somebody come in just the other day and say, I was told I can get 4.5% on my money, guaranteed. I said, okay, let's talk about it. And by the time we unwound it, it wasn't what he thought it was. So just be very careful. Number 16, here we go. Real important. They're all important, but this is really good. Build the plan before you retire. If you come in to see me 5 years before you retire or 1 year before you retire, I can give you a much better idea about what you can do with your retirement monies than if you wait until the day after you've retired. You had enough of the boss and his feeble attempts at humor. You said, I'm over it. I'm out of here. And you say to me, hey, I retired. What can you do with this? We can still help. I don't want to give you the wrong impression. And if you've been retired for many years and you simply want a second opinion, absolutely. That's what advisors are for. I do a lot of second opinions. But what I'm trying to get at is you're really trying to know how much you need to accumulate for retirement or how much you can get from your investments for retirement. Solving for either one of those, that's much easier done. And you can do something about it if it's lacking, if you build the plan before you retire. There, that's how you do it. Number 17, okay? Now we're going to shift gears and talk a little bit about estate planning. Do you need an estate plan? Do you need a will, trust, and these other documents? Yes. As a general statement, yes. I'm not an attorney, but most people need at least some of the basics in place to protect them and then to protect their family or their beneficiaries in how they get money. So even if you have no beneficiaries and when you die, your money's going to go to a charity or it's going to go somewhere you've designated. Even without family, a will might be appropriate and some of the other documents may be very appropriate. So now I'm not a big fan of the self-help stuff that you do online. Just because I've worked with attorneys and I've seen the things that can be done with the guidance of a reputable, experienced, competent attorney. And there are a lot of them around. And it pays the shot because there can be differences in what they charge, just like with advisors. So some of the basic documents that I see attorneys do on a regular basis, a will. that directs what you own in your name that doesn't have a beneficiary name on it to go to somebody. That's what a will does. A trust. A trust will hold money. It's not subject to probate. A will is. And a trust will also direct money to go where you want it to go. Also allows the money to be held for somebody and paid out over time. And a trust also allows the money, if you are incapacitated, for somebody to step in, manage that money, and then disperse it out to take care of your needs. So a trust is a more permanent solution than just a will, and it has a lot more flexibility, and it's private. So just a couple differences there. There's a lot more to it. There are other documents that may be appropriate. Power of attorney, let somebody step in and basically take care of your finances and make business decisions for you. A healthcare surrogate, let somebody step in and make decisions for you related to your healthcare if you can't. So if you need surgery and you're in a coma and somebody has this document, they can make important medical decisions for you. Not talking about pulling the plug, talking about making you better. A healthcare surrogate is about making you better. An advanced directive is the separate document. That's the one that allows somebody to say, okay, that's enough after it's been determined by your doctor or doctors that you're not coming back. So these documents are really important. They all work together. And I really encourage, if you have concerns about these documents, to sit down with an attorney to get some advice. And that's tip number 17. Tip number 18, talk to your family about your estate plan. I've seen some real fights and some real stress among family members when they don't understand a loved one's estate plan. Now, I'm not saying you have to give a copy of your will and trust to every family member, but be prudent and think through who you want to serve in different capacities. Talk to them about their role. Make sure they're comfortable. And also make sure you've talked to somebody about what you want to have happen. And it just helps to make things clear. You don't have to, you know, give them a personal accounting of every asset you own, but you can help avoid fights, hurt feelings, lawsuits, if people have a general idea. And that's just prudent thinking. And tip number 19, when we get into some of this estate planning, there are techniques that you can use that can be very powerful. And when you consult with an attorney, they can explore your situation and help you figure out what makes sense. But I will tell you that if a trust fits your situation, and it fits more situations than people realize, you don't have to be a multimillionaire. You could have hundreds, not millions, okay? Hundreds of thousands, not millions of dollars, and a trust might be very appropriate. So you want to look at how you want to leave your money, and you really can control from the grave in a good way. The money can be left for your beneficiaries. It can provide income in the future to them without wrecking their own work ethic. It can protect them from getting too much money at once, which has wrecked the lives of many lottery winners. So these are some tips to get you started. And tip number 20 is to implement them. And if you do that, you'll plan stronger.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.